In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. As always, it's great to be with you. And as always, we'd like to start off our conversation by turning to Mary. Mary has many beautiful titles. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And we turn to Mary and the Hail Holy Queen as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So, this being the case, let's, on this wonderful day dedicated to Mary, Saturday, let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most. And that prayer is, of course, the Hail Mary, known also as the Angelic Salutation. So let's pray. Let's pray to Mary and beg her for her presence with us. Santa Maria del Camino, as they say in Spanish, that Mary would walk with us and accompany us. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. Many wonderful titles. And these titles are the following. Holy Spirit is the gift of gifts. He's also known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also our counselor. Holy Spirit is also our consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. St. Paul says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. To help us to love God more and more each day. As we say, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So my friends, as is our custom, I'd like to offer special prayers for all of you. I'd like to pray for all of you, especially when I celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Of course, by far, there's no greater prayer in the whole world. There's no greater prayer in the whole world, my friends, than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So I'd like to place all of you on the altar when they celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass today. And then offer these special intentions. My first intention will be I'd like to pray for all of us that we would be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. That's right. That we will be docile to the Holy Spirit. Indeed, our sanctification depends in large part upon being open to the Holy Spirit. Open to the Holy Spirit. We might even say this prayer, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. That's right. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come through the heart of Mary. My second intention will be the following. I'd like to pray for your families. Your families. To pray in a special way for you as parents who have children, teenagers, some of you are even grandparents. I'd like to pray that all of you would take seriously your obligation to be the first teachers of your children. That's so true, that the first teachers of the children are the parents. That means you. So to take that responsibility very seriously. Watch over your children. You are, my friends, you are the primary teachers of your children. Your primary obligation is to teach them about God, about morality, about the purpose of life. And the purpose of life is for us to get to heaven. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And my third intention, will be the following. To pray for the conversion of sinners as well as to pray for deathbed sinners. Our Lady of Fatima said with sadness that there are many souls that are lost. Lost for all eternity because we don't have enough people to offer up two things. Fervent prayer, but also to offer up sacrifices for their salvation. So let's unite ourselves today. Let's unite ourselves today with the Immaculate Heart of Mary and good Saint Joseph, and pray in a special way for the conversion of sinners and especially for the conversion of deathbed sinners. Our Lord said it very clearly, What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and loses his soul? What can we exchange for our soul? So, my friends, those are my intentions that I'll offer as I place all of you on the altar in my Mass today. In an earlier talk, I talked about Catholic devotions. Catholic devotions. The book that I read years ago, I really liked it because it had devotions that we can have every day of the week. The author said, hey, on Sunday, which is the kernel, the very heart of the week, we should recognize that on Sunday we celebrate a mini resurrection. It's like celebrating a little Easter every Sunday. Celebrating a little Easter, a little mini resurrection. Also, it's a day in which we honor the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith. Sunday, we honor the Blessed Trinity, which means we believe in one God in three separate persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Monday, the author encouraged us to think and pray for the souls in purgatory. To think and pray for the souls in purgatory, that's right. Among the many fallacies or among the many erroneous theological pastoral ideas that have been floating around, I say maybe the past decades, is when we go to funeral masses, that it's common to hear people speaking as well as sermons in which the person died seems to be unofficially canonized. You hear these words, well, he's in a better place or he's no longer suffering. And I say, how do you know? How do you know he's in a better place and how do you know that he's no longer suffering? And the book of Revelation says only the absolutely pure of heart will enter the kingdom of God. So we should get in the habit of of praying in a special way. Praying in a special way for the souls in purgatory. That's Monday. Now the devotional book said Tuesday would be a good day to pray in a special way, my friends, in honor of the angels. We have our guardian angel, but also there are three angels that are mentioned in the Bible. St. Michael the Archangel, St. Raphael, and St. Raphael. By the way, many of you probably know that I'm a writer. I've written books as well as I've been a bloggist writing blog articles for many years. And many of my blog articles have been posted in a pretty well-known Catholic website. It's called Catholic Exchange, CE, Catholic Exchange. And about every other week, for about 10 years, every week, I would have one of my articles published. Now it's about every other week. One of my articles, blog articles, is being published. Last week, My blog article that was published was on the Archangel Raphael. That's right, the Archangel Raphael. So if you were to go in, Google in Catholic Exchange, and you look at the articles, you can see, you scroll down a little bit, you'll see my name, and you'll see the Archangel Raphael and the Book of Tobit. That article that I wrote with the purpose of developing a new spiritual exercises program for marriage and family. Earlier this summer, I gave a three-week retreat in Spanish to marriage and family, then I gave it 2 weeks in English. So I was able to write a marriage, an Ignatian marriage retreat for 3 weeks, and I hope in the near future to be able to launch this, to be able to launch this. So what I'm saying now is we're talking about devotions, and Tuesday would be a day in which we honor the angels. If you want to read a good short article, you can look at Catholic Exchange and scroll down where it says Father Ed Broome, and you're going to see the Archangel Raphael. Jesse Romero, who has his radio station, said he really liked my article and he wants me to be a guest on his radio program because he liked my article that I wrote on the Archangel Raphael. I've known Jesse Romero for quite a few years. He and Terry Barber have their own radio station. So what I'm doing today, my friends, I'm going through different devotions that we as Catholics should cultivate. Now Wednesday traditionally has been a day dedicated to good Saint Joseph. Thanks be to God, Pope Francis had a year dedicated to Saint Joseph, which ended on the feast day of the Immaculate Conception. Even though this year of Saint Joseph in the ecclesial optic has already been concluded, still, we should have a great devotion to Saint Joseph. Because of all the saints in the Catholic Church, he's the greatest. Saint Teresa of Avila, who wrote a couple of chapters on Saint Joseph in her work called La Vida, or The Life, says that Saint Joseph never failed her. She even said that other saints help out, but they sometimes delay a little bit. But Saint Joseph works very quickly. So on Wednesday, make sure that you upgrade your devotion to Saint Joseph. In that book that was written by Father Don Calloway, Consecration to Saint Joseph, say almost the very heart of the book itself is Father Don takes the litany of Saint Joseph and he explains in detail the different invocations that we give to Saint Joseph in that beautiful litany. You might even have recourse to Father Don Calloway's book. It's a great way in which we can consecrate ourselves to good Saint Joseph. Good Saint Joseph. What about Thursday? Thursday traditionally is a day in which we honor two different devotions. One is related to the other. And it would be to honor, in a very special way, I'd say not simply honor, but to praise the mystery of the Most Holy Eucharist. I was listening to part of a conference that Bishop Robert Barron gave a couple of years ago I think it was a catechetical congress. He was giving a talk, and he chose to talk upon the Eucharist, the real presence. And he made the comment that 70% of Catholics do not even know what the real presence, 70% of Catholics do not even know what the real presence is. They don't even know what the real presence is. So he purposely gave a talk on the Eucharist, starting off with John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse, then he went through some of the teachings of the fathers of the church, like St. Justin Martyr. Then he addressed the era of Berengarius, who was a theologian who said that the Eucharist is just a symbol. Then he went into the explanation of Thomas Aquinas and his explanation of the Eucharist. Then he went on to talk about Pope Paul VI and what he said about the Eucharist leading up to Pope John Paul II, giving a good historical analysis of what the Eucharist is. You might even go onto my website, because in the last week of July, I gave a series of talks on the Mass and the Eucharist. You can just Google in, go to fatherbroom.com, and check out my 7 talks that I gave on the Mass and the Eucharist. It's in the archives of my website. Go to my website, my friends. Because after this Facebook presentation, this goes to my YouTube, and I was checking out the analytics. They send me analytics. We had close to 200,000 minutes of YouTube last month. So a lot of people are following us online. Thanks be to God. You follow us live, and then a lot of people that follow us on archives and send it to their friends. By the way, send our conversation to friends. Invite them to become members of our Perseverance family. So talking about, my friends, different devotions each day of the week, and we've arrived at Thursday. Not only is Thursday dedicated to the Most Holy Eucharist, the real presence, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, but also it's a day which we pray for priests. And we try to support the priesthood. Because, my friends, the harvest is rich and the labors are few. And I'm keenly aware of the fact that you people are at the mercy of your priests. So that means the Curivar said, a saintly priest, a holy people, a holy priest, a good people, a good priest, an average people, an average priest, a poor people, a poor priest, a sinful people. A sinful priest, a lost people. Curivar is always saying that the priest is the head of his flock. He's the head of his flock. So pray for vocations to the priesthood. And only about 5 weeks ago, we had 2 of our deacons that were ordained priests. Now with Father Leland Thorpe and Father Nathan Marsani, we've got 2 new priests that were ordained about 5 weeks ago. So pray for them as they initiate their journey through the priesthood. And pray for priests, as well as pray for vocations. It's so true, my friends, that the harvest is rich. The harvest is very rich. But the laborers are very few. Jesus in the gospel today speaks about a good tree does not bring forth rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit. Every tree is known by its fruit. So if you have a holy priest that's really living out his priesthood to the fullest, that's like an apple tree or a pear tree, and the fruits are going to be many and they're going to be abundant. So that's what Jesus is saying in the gospel today. You can know the tree by its fruit. Pray that we get many priests, but especially we get holy priests. I mentioned this in past talks, but the devil said, related to the Curie of Ars, at the end of the life of the Curie of Ars, that if there were another five of him in the world, that Satan said his kingdom would be destroyed. Wow, think about that. There are another five holy priests like the Curie of Ars. His kingdom would be destroyed. The analogy that Jesus gives is the shepherd and the sheep. If the shepherd is negligent or derelict in his duty, then as Ezekiel points out, the sheep are going to be scattered on the hillside. And John Paul II called together a synod from which came, the synod was based on the formation of priests, from which came the document Pastora Daba Vobis, which I invite all of you to read eventually. And it's on the formation of the priest. Give us good shepherds. Give us shepherds according to the heart of Christ. Give us good shepherds. So on Thursday, my friends, it's a day in which we should be thinking during the course of the day on these two different aspects. And that would be the real presence. Let's try always to grow in our knowledge and love and the devotion to the Eucharist. Nothing greater in the world. The greatest thing you can do in your life is to receive Holy Communion with great fervor and devotion. That's right. Nothing greater in the world than to receive Holy Communion with fervor and with great devotion. With fervor and great devotion. With fervor and great devotion. And also we want to pray for priests. Pray for priests. I'm going to tell you something that's very encouraging for me, and it's related to this whole idea of the formation of priests. About 4 weeks ago, I was visiting my mother in New Hampshire, and I got an email. And the email was from a bishop, the bishop of Youngstown, Ohio. And the bishop sent me a nice little letter. He said, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm a bishop. I don't remember his name, but it's Youngstown, Ohio. He said, Father Broom, Basically, I like your book that you wrote, the book that you wrote on consecration to Mary through the mysteries of the Rosary. He said, I'd like to ask you for a favor. And the favor would be, I'd like you to write an article on one of the chapters in your book, which is the Annunciation. I'd like you to write about 1,500 words, which is not that long. It would be about 3.5 pages. And the bishop said, I would like you to write that article and send it to me, because I'm the editor, the editor of the priest. My friends, our Sunday Visitor, which is a pretty well-known publication, Catholic newspaper, has a section called The Priest. And this bishop of Youngstown is the supervisor. So he asked me to write that article. So I wrote the article. So probably in the next edition of The Priest from OSV, our Sunday Visitor, my article on the Annunciation related to priests will come out. So that gives me a lot of encouragement. That gives me a lot of encouragement. You know why, my friends? Because working at the formation of priests so that they become holy priests is one of the most important things in the Catholic Church. And the founder of the Oblates, Venerable Bruno Pio Lanteri, gave us as oblates, as part of our charism is the formation of good priests. That's right, the formation of good priests. So I'm spending some time on this Thursday. Make sure that you augment, you fortify your belief and devotion in the Eucharist, in the real presence, and try to bring someone back to church. I would challenge all of you, once a month, try to bring someone back to church. But also let's try to fortify the whole idea of the priesthood. The whole idea of the priesthood. I pray for you. But you should also pray for me as well as to pray for priests. That should be on your list, on your prayer list, so to speak. So the gospel today, Jesus is speaking about a good tree does not bring forth bad fruit, nor does a rotten tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. So we want to pray, my friends, that we are a good tree bringing forth good fruit. And the good fruit that we're bringing forth, my friends, are virtues. The rotten fruit would be vice. Good fruit produces holiness. The bad fruit produces sinfulness. We want to pray that we are good trees bringing forth good fruit. You as parents, pray that you would be a good tree and your children are good fruits. In a world where there is, honestly, there's a lot of rottenness out there, but we want to be a light. We want to be the salt. We want to be the good fruit. So going back to our conversation on devotions, we've arrived at Friday. Friday, my friends, is a day in which we should be calling to mind the suffering, the passion, and the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we're calling to mind, the passion, suffering, death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's also a day in which we are called to carry out some form or type of penance. Some type or form of penance we should try to carry out every Friday, which we're giving up something. We're giving up something. Traditionally, Fridays has been a day in which we're called to give up meat. Now, if you do that, you've carried out your Friday obligation. And this is not simply an ecclesiastical law that can be abrogated. The way in which we can live this out can be different. But rather, this is a divine mandate, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ Himself said, He said this, "Unless you do penance, you shall perish." So when you're giving up meat, you're giving up cookies, you're giving up a Coca-Cola, you're giving up a meal, whatever it might be, try also to purify your intention. When you're not doing this simply to lose a pound or two, that can be a diet. But rather you're making this sacrifice because you want to repair for your own sins. You want to repair for the sins of the whole world, and also you want to work with Christ to save souls. St. Paul says, "I fill up in my body what is lacking in the passion of Christ." So my friends, what I'm saying is it's a good idea to keep purifying our intentions. And God is pleased not so much by the greatness of the action, but the love by which we carry out even our smallest of actions. St. Therese, the little flower, her spirituality can be boiled down to the little way. The little way of the little flower is trying to do the ordinary things of our daily life, the ordinary things of our daily life with extraordinary love. There you have the key to holiness of the little flower. Now, finishing up on Friday, then we'll move to Saturday, which is the day of Mary. We'll talk a little bit about what we can do to cultivate a deeper Marian love and devotion, but let's finish Friday. I'd like to tell you an anecdote. When I went to the university, Villanova University, back in the 70s, I was graced with the gift of having a spiritual director was actually a lay professor at the university, professor of English. He taught Shakespeare and Milton and Byron and the poets, the English poets. He taught Dante. And he was my spiritual director. And eventually what happened was his mother died because she was a widow. And he went to the seminary, was ordained a priest when he was about 72 years old in the Diocese of Philadelphia. Father Joseph Reino was his name. Spanish Reino. And we would talk a lot about the saints, about spirituality, about the Bible, about Marian devotion. And he would mention the state of desolation. I did not know the rules for discernment as of yet, but he would speak about desolation and consolation. By now, all of you know what desolation is. Desolation is when you experience a lack of faith, a lack of hope, a lack of charity. You feel somewhat sad, a little bit discouraged, disheartened. Life doesn't seem to have any meaning. You seem to be walking aimlessly throughout the world. You seem to be in a dark tunnel in which there's no light at the end of the tunnel. We all go through desolation at times. We should know what to do when we're in desolation. And St. Ignatius in the sixth rule says we should never make any changes, but we should pray and meditate, do a little bit of penance, and examine our conscience to see maybe we can discover the reason why we're in desolation. But getting back to my spiritual mentor or spiritual director, he told me this. Whenever he found himself in this overwhelming cloud or gloom of desolation, he had a remedy. And his remedy was, he would go into the church. There was the Church of St. Thomas of Villanova on Lancaster Avenue. It was a very beautiful church. And he would make what is called the Stations of the Cross. That's right. He'd make the Stations of the Cross, and he'd be going from one station to the next. He'd be going from one station to the next, the 14 stations. And he said, inevitably, by the time he finished, by the time he finished the last of the 14 stations, it was as if a cloud, this dense cloud of desolation, dissipated. And he experienced consolation. Remember, I was once in an airport in New Hampshire, and it was about 6:30, 7 o'clock, and there was a dense cloud of mist hovering over the airport. And I said, oh no, we're not going to get out of here. And then the loud, clear voice of the pilot says, don't worry, we'll be leaving on time. That cloud will disappear instantaneously once the sun comes out. And I didn't believe the pilot because the cloud was pretty dense. But sure enough, once the sun broke through the clouds, the whole mist disappeared instantaneously. That can actually happen in our state of soul going from desolation to consolation. Something small can bring desolation upon us. Some happening, something people say, an interior, something's going on within us, which we experience desolation. But that desolation can dissipate and be turned into consolation instantaneously. God can work very quickly. But my spiritual mentor would utilize doing the way of the cross. There's a surefire proof to get him out of the state of desolation. And it kind of stands to reason. Because often when we're in desolation, we feel as if we're alone. We feel sometimes I wish the cross is just too heavy for us to bear. It seems as if we sometimes just want to throw the towel in and give up the fight. But if we see how much our Lord suffered by carrying his cross, our suffering evaporates almost into nothingness. Recognize that our Lord did all of that in his passion for love of you and for love of me, St. Ignatius. Incidentally, we're going through different devotions on the different days of the week. We've arrived at Friday. To finish a reflection on Friday, one more idea. And this is taken from the diary of St. Faustina Kowalska. Now, you've heard of the Mercy Hour. The Mercy Hour is 3 p.m. Now, if you go to the diary, Jesus actually said to St. Faustina, that at the Mercy Hour, he asked her if she could do this. First would be to go into the chapel and to make the way of the cross. That was actually the first request of Jesus, to make the way of the cross. However, St. Faustina in the convent had her specific duties or chores to carry out. Wouldn't always be possible for her to stop maybe her work as a sacristan or working in the kitchen or working in the garden or working as porter. She couldn't just stop everything to go into the chapel to make the way of the cross. Then Jesus said, well, if that would be impossible, come into the chapel and to make a short visit to him, present in the tabernacle. The third thing Jesus said is, if that's not possible, at least lift up your mind and your heart. Lift up your mind and your heart, uniting your mind and your heart to the agony of Christ as he suffered on the cross. And Jesus says, any prayer that we offer to the Eternal Father in that 3 o'clock hour, we offer that prayer to God the Father through the suffering of Christ, the anguish of Christ. Jesus said, the Father will deny you nothing. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, whoever knocks will be open. Matthew 7, verse 7. So relating our Fridays to the diary of St. Faustina, my spiritual mentor who would make the way of the cross, make sure on Fridays that you offer up some type of sacrifice and you have before your mind's eye the passion, suffering, and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, my friends, we've arrived at Saturday. Saturday, my friends, is a wonderful day in which we try to honor she who's considered the masterpiece of creation. We honor she who's considered the masterpiece of creation. that masterpiece of creation is the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is known as the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, and the Mother of each and every one of us. That being the case, my friends, I would encourage all of you every Saturday, my friends, pray the rosary every day. Pray the rosary every day. But especially, my friends, pray the rosary with great love. And I would encourage you every day, this was part of the custom of our founder, Venerable Bruno Lanteri, try to do some type of spiritual reading when you pray the rosary, or when you're getting to know Mary inside. And I'll make one suggestion. I've suggested many times the glories of Mary. I'll make another suggestion today. The secret of the rosary, written by St. Louis de Montfort. And I'd like to tell you a story to encourage us to try to pray the rosary well. It's a story of three little girls, they were praying the rosary. They finished praying the rosary. First girl, a lady appeared in dirty rags. Another girl prayed, and Mary was clean. The third girl prayed the rosary, and Mary was radiating light and beauty. So there were three different girls who prayed the rosary, but three drastically different representations of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now you might say, well, Father, what does St. Louis de Montfort mean by those three girls praying the rosary and Our Lady appearing in three different ways? And I'll tell you. And this will be a challenge for you and for me, because we should try to pray the rosary, but try to pray it well. Is the first girl prayed the rosary, but she didn't really pay attention to it. She was willingly distracted. So a lady appeared with rags. In rags. The second girl prayed the rosary, and she prayed it well, but she could have prayed it better. So Mary appeared in kind of normal clothes. But then the third girl that prayed the rosary, she put all of her heart, mind, soul, and strength into the rosary. In other words, she really gave her all to praying the rosary. So she had an apparition of Mary, who was a smile on her face, was radiating light, and she was resplendent with beauty. Now, the story I've just told is kind of a rebuke for myself, because I feel often, I'll be honest with you, feel I could pray the rosary better. So that story I told is kind of a rebuke to myself, because I know I could pray the rosary much better. So preaching this to you, it's going to be a challenge for me to put into practice what I'm preaching. But even though, my friends, you might be distracted, pray the rosary anyway. Pray the rosary anyway. I like to quote Pope St. John the 23rd. He said that the only poor rosary is the rosary that was never prayed. So praying the rosary, try to do it as best you can, but never allow a day to go by in which you do not pray the rosary. So my friends, today is Saturday. Try to honor Mary in a special way by reading a good book on Mary. I mentioned the Secret of the Rosary by St. Louis de Montfort explains the rosary and tells a lot of beautiful stories. I've given you one of the stories. And then try to pray the rosary with a lot of faith, devotion, and love. And I'd like to give you my priestly blessing. I will pray for you and invite you to pray for me. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.